Welcome to another edition of Beyond the Point. I'm your host, Nick Keezer, the reporter from 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, covering everything Nashville Predators. And on this weekly edition, we've got a lot to talk about. Preds back on a losing streak after just talking about a winning streak last week. And it's very discouraging right now to be in that locker room. And if you are Andrew Burnett, you've only been expressing that only further here in the last few games, and it's just not been pretty for them, and it's been very troublesome to see the response from the veterans and really just everybody in that room. And of course, I'm talking about the demoralizing 4-1 loss against the Anaheim Ducks on Thursday night, and really just the last week has kind of been that way as well. And the team just got back from a really weird trip out west in California. They were shut out one game from going to overtime when they really felt like they played well enough to win that game. And Andrew Burnett kind of talked about that back then. But in the last four games, the Predators have scored 3 goals, been shut out once, like I just said. And it's weird. It's just a weird time to be watching this franchise. And nobody thought it would be anything like this season. And hopefully next year and maybe this summer, we start seeing some changes, some significant ones for sure. And we'll talk more about that this summer. There's going to be a myriad of things to kind of touch on here on 102.5 The Game across all different shows and platforms. So as always, stay tuned for that audio-wise and at thegamenashville.com. So want to run through a couple of quick notes here before we get to our interview this week. And I had a chat with Assistant General Manager and GM of the Milwaukee Admirals, Scott Nickel. And so really excited to share what that interview was like and just what he had to say. Just he and I have a chat about once a year so far since I've been covering this organization, just about where some things stand with some prospects and how some things stand with the Admirals. But then also to kind of just gauging what the season has been like from his lens as well. So Scott Nickel is great as always, and the former Nashville Predator and NHL mind that he is as a player, he's phenomenal to hear from. So Scott Nickel will be joining us here in the next few minutes. But the Nashville Predators, they take on the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow night, if you're listening to this on Friday. And Toronto is coming to town with a 3-game winning streak, and they just won against Peter Laviolette and the New York Rangers on Thursday, 4-3. And saw a few different reporters up there in New York say that Peter Laviolette had a fire Lavi chant going against him. So, man, that'll be interesting to see this offseason to see if Lavi ends up getting fired. And usually once he has outstayed his welcome, after hearing some people kind of talk about him on our airwaves over the last few years, once he's kind of done that, he usually gets fired and he's on to the next NHL team. And of course, he has a lot of success in this league. He won a Stanley Cup and has gone back to the finals a few different times. So we'll see where he ends up going or if he stays in New York. And personally, I think he gets fired this summer. There's been a lot going on there, and they would have to have major postseason success for me to see him stay there, honestly. They got to get past the second round in my mind, and they have JT Miller now, so things are interesting up there in New York. But anyway, back here in Nashville, the Predators are taking on the Leafs on Saturday, and Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, those two big stalwarts on offense, those are always guys to watch. And that's a playoff team that is looking to get past the first round, so I'm very interested to see what their pace of play is going to be like against a struggling Predators team right now that has failed to score 2 goals since March 11th when they were last in San Jose, where they got a 3-2 win there. So it's weird. It's just a weird time. But we're going to talk about real quick here some headlines across the NHL. One thing that I have failed to talk about on this podcast on Beyond the Point is that Alexander Ovechkin is really, really close to breaking Wayne Gretzky's goal record. He is now 7 more goals away from breaking that record. So everybody's got eyes on him. The great chase is what is going on over on the NHL media site and just across all platforms. And they're really trying to narrow down when he might do this. And I want to say, I mean, it'd be crazy if it was the last game of the regular season when he did this. And if you're Max Hurst, he's always counting the goals that he's scored in the postseason, so he would have already broken that record a while ago. But anyway, regular season records are the real ones in my mind and whatnot. So Ovechkin, 7 more goals away. That was an exciting one to see for him last night, just get closer and closer. It wasn't a crazy awesome goal. He actually almost missed the puck. It was kind of a weird rebound that just happened to bounce his direction, right place, right time. So keep an eye on Alexander Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals, who also were the first team to clinch a playoff spot on Thursday night. So that team's going to make some noise in the postseason, chasing the Stanley Cup for the second time in team history. And then also, up in St. Louis, the Vancouver Canucks, they stay alive, forcing overtime on that night against the Blues. Brock Besser scored with 2.7 seconds remaining in regulation. I did not think that they would come back and win that game. It was back and forth all night long. The Blues were kind of chasing early on, and then they got ahead 3-2. And the Canucks, they are fighting as hard as they can to be a good playoff team this year. They are not what they were last year when they played the Predators in the first round. It will be intriguing to see what they are like, especially in between the pipes. Kevin Lankinen's done a phenomenal job this year. Thatcher Demko has been hurt basically the entire season, so he's not playing 100%. He never will play 100% again, according to some people that I've seen on X report about his availability. So with that being said, Vancouver, they did make it interesting. It's a really tight race in the playoff spot as well, and just kind of taking a quick look at that. I know that before the game last night, it was interesting to kind of see how close Utah was getting as well, and that's another squad that's trying to get in the playoffs their first year in a new city. Obviously, they are the former Coyotes, but taking a look here at the wild card chase in the West, the Central Division, you've got Dallas and Colorado leading things currently. Dallas has 90 points as of Friday afternoon. Colorado has 87, and then you take a look down here, and 1 and 2 spots, you have Minnesota at 83 and St. Louis is at 77. So they could have pulled ahead a little bit further of the Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver has played 69 games while the Blues have played 70 now. So Vancouver just 1 point behind them in the standings. And so they have a game in hand in them, a game in hand against them as well. Calgary and Utah are right there fighting for one as well. Also, it'd be really weird to see if Vancouver is, you know, passed up by Anaheim. Possibly. I highly doubt that happens. Anaheim was just here. They do look like a much better team. I just don't think they make the playoffs, honestly. They got John Gibson and Lukáš Dostal in the back, but I don't think they have enough firepower to get there just yet. I would anticipate them being a playoff team next year, maybe a dark horse team. But for the time being, the playoff field is what it is. And then I will entertain what it looks like in the East as well. You've got the top team in the league, like I mentioned, the Washington Capitals. They're the first team to clinch a playoff spot. They have 100 points this year at 46 wins. And then if you just look at the conference at 1-8, you've got in second, you got Carolina at 88. Florida, they're back in the playoff race as well. They're going to make it. Toronto is there. Tampa is there. New Jersey's there. Ottawa should be making that postseason. Now, here's where it gets a little bit hairy. You got Montreal, the Islanders, the Rangers, and the Blue Jackets all right there as teams that could make it. Even Detroit. Maybe Boston, but I'd say more of that dark horse being Detroit as number 12 in the conference. This could get really fascinating here. I mean, I would like to see Detroit make it just because of the talent that they have, but Ottawa and Montreal, they're fighting with everything that they possibly have. They've both played 68 games so far. The Rangers might be that one team that squeaks in with 33 wins and 31 losses right now. They could inch in and grab that spot. They've had a really, really weird year. They were down massive earlier this season, and now they've kind of battled back. And like I said, Lavi, if they make the playoffs, they would have to make it past a few rounds for him to last up there. So, but those are just a few headlines I wanted to touch through. But the biggest one I'm saving for last here is the fact that Emily Kaplan had a big scoop on Thursday as well. Billionaire Dan Fredekin, I think is how you say his name, Fredekin possibly, he is emerging as a strong ownership candidate to bring the NHL to Houston. sources were telling her at ESPN. So, wow, another team. And I know I saw Kevin Weeks tweet as well that, you know, 34 is more likely right now. 34 teams in the league, maybe 36 one day. But right now, Houston is emerging, and that Fredekin group, they are a team that wants to have an NHL franchise. So we could see something in Houston, you know, in the next few years kind of start to build up. I know that Commissioner Gary Bettman, he's tried to cool off these conversations with reporters and also national insiders. But it's back on the table down in Texas. What it would be to have a Dallas Star rival, that would be really cool to have. So, but I know that Atlanta has also been in talks as well as a team that might get a third franchise. They've had the Flames, the Thrashers. What is next out there? I guess we'll have to wait and see, but that's another team that could potentially get another franchise as well. So those are your NHL headlines. I kind of wanted to run through a couple of things that were happening that were big this week and just here in the last few games as well. But Scott Nichol had a very, very good update on some of these prospects and perhaps some guys that could even join the Milwaukee Admirals as they go to the postseason here in the next few weeks. He kind of talked about some of the rising prospects in terms of some guys in college, but also what's to come down the road. But without any further ado, here's my conversation with Predators Assistant General Manager Scott Nichol. What a year it's been for the young guys. I know it's not the results that the team wants necessarily, but we've seen a lot of guys get chances this year, from the Ozzie Weisblatts to the Fedor Svechkovs to the Zach LaRues. Just what have your overall impressions been of those guys this season? And honestly, they've impressed at different moments in time for sure.
Yeah, I think we might lead the league in first NHL games this year. It seems like you put Adam Willsby in that bucket as well. So, no, I think having the long runs in Milwaukee the last couple of years, I think it's really helped these kids, even though, like Zach, this is a second year pro, but he's gone far in the playoffs, had a good year last year. Svechkov came over early, played in the playoffs the year before. Like, it really does help these guys, and it almost gives them a season and a half of development. And then, yeah, maybe at times we think we rushed them into the NHL, and after only 1 year or one and a little bit, but I think they've done fantastic. I see, like, for me watching, you know, I'm not day to day in Milwaukee or in Nashville all the time. I watch all their games, but just even watching the game last night from, minus the score, but you look at, for me, I look at where Svech was at the beginning of the year and his first call up, even his second call up, you see the dip in his play. And now I see him out there on his third call up. He's been more confident. You know, his pace is better. He's stronger on the puck. It's a man's league, and he's an 03. So, but you do see the promise of him. You see the promise of Zach LaRue, and you even put Luke Evangelista in it. He's kind of going through it right now. He's struggling a little bit. He had a really good first year, and he's trying to fight his way out of a little bit of a probably a disappointing season in his mind. But that's all part of the growth, and mm-hmm. we're giving these guys a platform and an opportunity. And the Milwaukee guys have been great. The young kids have been great. They've come in and filled a role, and, you know, not just being happy to be here. I think they have some substance to it. And, you know, you can go through the D2 with Willsby and Delgazzo and Stas started a little bit later. And I think a shining bright spot is Blankenberg. I don't think anybody knew that he could be playing 20 minutes a night. And so we're very, very happy with the young guys and the progression of their development.
Absolutely. And just to kind of shift gears a little bit, I've talked with a few guys in junior this season as well, and to kind of hear what they've kind of gone through. Talked to Andrew Gibson after he got traded. Same thing with Tanner. Obviously, those two, it's a worst-kept secret that they're Preds prospects and playing on the same pairing at the World Juniors. Just what's impressed you about keeping track of them this year? I know you may not watch every game. You're so in tune with Milwaukee, but what have you heard about them this year, and how much progression do you think they've made so far this season?
Yeah, our development staff with Rob Scuderi is kind of the point person with those guys, and mm-hmm. all our development guys see it with Boro helps out, Nathan Gerby, even myself. So it's, it's hard in the junior, you know, to get traded and have that hanging over your head coming into the season. But I thought they handled it super mature, like going through the year, starting in Saskatoon and then starting in what was Gibby for the Sioux, I think. Mm-hmm. And then having the World Juniors on your mind, trying to make that team. So I think just it shows the maturity of those guys. Mm-hmm. And I thought they played fantastic. I think the method to our madness was putting those two together at the rookie tournament. And I know Team Canada was there watching. So our long-term vision is having those two as a pairing. And, you know, they're two different profiles. And I thought they worked very well off each other. And I thought they had fantastic World Junior as well. So mm-hmm. we're really excited about both of them. I know their ice time has been cut a little bit back on their new teams with mm-hmm. Oshawa and Medicine Hat, but it's been a good thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in their mind it is, but it, in our mind it is, because they're playing, you know, they're not getting totally cut back. Maybe it's getting cut back 4 minutes or so, but they're kind of settling into their identity and how, where we see them as a pro. And they're not going to be playing 40 mm-hmm. or 30 minutes a night. Hopefully they do, but they're in a really good spot. And we're super excited about them, and hopefully they're on two really good teams. Hopefully they go far. And I think you take a quote out of Trotsky, as he wants serial winners, and these kids are they're well on their way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the goal that they expressed with me as well. So we'll see how it goes this summer. So, but Scott, also just looking at Milwaukee's roster, I know most fans here just know those prospects' names that go to Milwaukee, but most of them are here this year. You've had over, 40 guys play for the Admirals this year. What's life been like as a GM for you this year?
It's kept me on my toes, that's for sure. So I'm in a good position because I kind of see what's coming down the pipeline a little bit with you know, rosters up here and stuff, so I can maybe try and get ahead of it. But it's been a challenge, that's for sure. We came out of camp, I think, with three shoulder surgeries, and a guy cut his Achilles tendon. So right from the start, I think we're down four or five players, more on our depth side of things. But and then Schaefer got his shoulder, so he was out for the year, and that was a big loss. I can envision him playing on our team up here this year if he wasn't hurt. So it's been a lot, but that's why we got, you know, you lean on your pro scouts and amateur scouts and try and do the best we can to put a very competitive team in Milwaukee, so you can still help with the growth of the Wiseglats and the Kemmels and mm-hmm. Those kind of players. You don't want them just being in last place. And those guys have actually taken a huge step. Like Kemi's taken a huge step, because even though he's a 04 birth here, he feels like he's been there for a long time, but he's been driving our team. He's, you know, plays power play, plays first penalty kill. Like his all around game is coming. I know he's probably wants to have more goals like everybody, but his all around game is so much more mature off the ice, on the ice. So I'm very happy with his development. And I just, you know, our veterans down there with Cal O'Reilly and Gravel, they've been Lucchini, they've done a fantastic job of keeping that winning, you know, culture together and competitiveness. And they've been grinding out wins and staying at the top of the Central. So super proud of the players and the coaching staff, because it's been a lot of players, a lot of moving parts. You know, every night it's different power play players on the ice. There's not a whole lot of continuity. So hopefully we can, you know, the next 15 games settle in and not have too many, knock on wood, too many injuries and too much movement, and they can kind of get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I know they want some continuity down there for sure. So, but Scott, just want to hone in too on Teddy Stiga for just a second. He's another player that I caught up with not that long ago, and he shared he's roommates with Hagans and what his season's been like so far, and just the pressure of being a top prospect and what have you. But I know that Teddy, you know, playing at the level that he does, he's been very consistent this year, probably had some gaffes every now and then. But when you see a guy like that down the middle where you want to develop a center, how encouraging has he been to you guys as a staff so far? And you never know, Hagans could be a Predator this summer, possibly depending on that draft spot too.
Never know. I think Teddy, to go in there as a freshman playing with with the players he's played with Leonard and Perreault and all, like talking to their coaches, he's a driver. He drives the pace in practice, drives, you know, he's just the motor on him. I think he even played defense this year, one game, because he's just an all-around great athlete. And he's been fantastic. We're super excited about him to go into a program like that and to play the amount that he did in every situation and also put up numbers and not get overwhelmed with the roster or the league. I think he just, I think it shows his character how he went in and dealt with World Juniors. He didn't play a whole lot in World Juniors. He earned that spot as probably he was like 13th, 12th forward, and his ice time wasn't great, but he put a stamp on whatever minutes he got during those games. And then, when you do the right thing and you have a great attitude and you work as hard as he does, he scored an absolutely fantastic game-winning goal. So he's had a really good year, and he's going to probably be leaned on to leave and more so next year, but he's on a really good path.
Yeah, and I'll be honest too, looking at some other college guys, just real quick here, Scott, Aiden Fink and Cole O'Hara, and I knew more about Aiden after having some conversations with him, but Cole O'Hara has had one heck of a year too. What have your quick impressions been of guys like that? And I know Aiden was obviously Poyle's last pick and whatnot in that trade with Tom Fitzgerald, but what have you made of both of those guys? They've been stellar NCAA players too.
Well, they're neck and neck. They're fighting for the top spot, right? For yep. the lead for most points. So for Cole, our amateur guys really liked him. He's always a not a slow starter, but his path of he gets more comfortable and more confident. And then like between his first, second, and third year, and that's what you want to see as you're on your young guys in development, and grid is that they're improving every year. If it's even body composition to just on ice play or production, and mm-hmm. and Cole's done that. I think he's settling in. He's got his school dialed in from the first year he was there, and the coach is hard and demanding, which he's had a good response to it, and he's playing with a ton of confidence. So he's got a great shot, good vision, and just he's got some really good pro details. And I'm happy for him because he didn't put up a lot of numbers the last 2 years. But then, you just stay with it and you stick to your detail. And now he's getting rewarded for it. So I'm very happy for him. And the process he's been going through is Aiden's a little bit different because Aiden came out of his freshman. He had a fantastic freshman, and he's just kind of built on that, where Cole's took him a little bit longer, but they're at the same point in their career right now. So he's done everything for UMass, and we've had a lot of luck with UMass players with Delgazzo and Ufko. So you know what you're going to get. They're coached very well, and they got good detail, and they work hard. So sounds like a predator.
Kind of looking ahead to this summer, no certain prospect in mind here to ask about necessarily, but lots of draft capital for the next few years, and you got several first round picks. We've never seen this many for the Predators in team history, I don't think. So Barry, I know, has said with us on 102.5 The Game that, hey, we have, really high picks, and I want to take those first five, and I want to personally make sure that we do well with those picks. As a staff, do you guys feel like there's that, five guys that are out there where you can really build around that this summer? Or do you feel like this draft kind of can supply those needs to kind of start things off with that foundation?
Yeah, I think we have the foundation, even just from our last few drafts when David was here, when we, we were traded at Cole, we got first round pick and Schaefer, mm-hmm. and so it started, and that's where, and then with the Ashcroft trade for Edstrom, Edstrom's going to be a really good player. Surin is having a fantastic year for a young player in the KHL, and we talked about Stiga. Mm-hmm. So it's, and then Svechkov's not too far off. Like, he's not that much older than these guys. So now you build with our draft that we have coming up and the horses we have in our stable. It's very impressive, and we're really excited. We just got to be patient with them, coach them the right way, develop them the right way, have patience with them. And so it's an exciting time on the prospects and the development side of things. And even in our guys in Milwaukee. So I think we have a good balance of, you know, different profiles in our prospect system. So we're see where it goes.
Absolutely. So with the games left here in Nashville now, and obviously you've got the AHL season too. I think the AHL has less games left, if I'm not mistaken. But obviously they'll probably be in the playoffs for sure. But are there guys junior-wise where you look at them like a Hiroki Glasic or you know, guys of that age, or maybe they'll just have a regular summer, but do you envision any guys joining the organization to maybe, you know, break their, you know, seal and go ahead and play some valuable pro games, or do you guys just kind of want to hold them off and let them rest this summer?
No, I think it's important. I think we've had a lot of success bringing these guys over, like Svechkov, Askarov came over early, Parson came over, even for Delgazzo and Afko. Afko came out of college last year and, you know, beat out Jordan Gross basically down the stretch, and he was our number one PP guy. So I think it's important for these kids to, you know, get their feet wet with the American League and pro hockey. It's a little bit different than college or junior. So my plan would be, I think there's two of them with Lynn and Gosick. I think they're not making playoffs, so we would like to bring those two guys in. And Gosick's a little bit younger. He's probably a year younger, which is pretty young, but bring him in and just to show him what pro hockey is, habits and practices and conditioning. And Kalen will come in and fight for some opportunity to play and hopefully maybe try and get him some games and see where playoffs go. And Austin Roos has been hurt all year, so we decided to send him back to kind of stair-step him in Everett to get a few games there in their playoff run, and then we bring him back in at the end of his season. And Joey Willis, both those guys, between Willis, Molendijk and Gibson, they're on really good teams. They got traded for, each of them got traded for a boatload of picks, so they loaded up, so we'll see where their season goes. But we at some point hopefully see them, if not hopefully they go all the way to Memorial Cup. So for us, for myself, it's important to get them in, and then they're more comfortable coming into training camp next year. They know the coaching staff in Milwaukee, they know the how we do things in Milwaukee and some of their peers with the Kemmels and Weisblatts and some of the younger players that they're going to see upco, and they'll kind of see them at our training camp and then go from there. I just think it's a stair-stepping them into pro hockey is right after their season, and then they know what they need to work on in the summer, and then we'll see those young guys at development camp, then we'll see them at rookie tournaments, then they got training camp, and then they got exhibition, and then, you know, so it's a lot of hockey that they're not used to at the beginning of the year, so this helps them kind of get used to it a bit.
Really appreciate Scott for joining us here on Beyond the Point and on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Don't worry, Nashville Predators fans. I did ask a pressing question that I did get some clarification on, but I don't want to share what that is. Here in the next few weeks, we should have an update on what the relationship looks like between Nashville and Milwaukee. So stay tuned for that. I know that Scott is excited for when that is ready to come out, but Nashville going in the weekend, trying to break their losing streak against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Can they do it? They have not scored twice since March 11th against the Sharks. We'll have to wait and see and find out. Andrew Burnett has been a disgruntled coach here in the last few weeks, and really the whole season. But the last few weeks, he's really been highlighting the things that have gone awry with his team this season. So we'll see how the team responds after he essentially called them out after their loss against the Anaheim Ducks. But that's all for this week here on Beyond the Point. Stay tuned for the radio call and my work over at thegamenashville.com for all the news and notes on the Nashville Predators. This is Nick Kieser signing off here on Beyond the Point. See you next week.